Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining the show. Episode number 451. Looks like we have some great participation this evening, which is always fun. Looks like a lot of the regulars are here, which is fantastic. But if you would like to be heard on this show, or you would like to send us something to discuss, you can do so via the email address, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. If you would like your voice heard here, like many before you, you can call us. Leave us a voicemail. 949-464-TBLS-8257 is the number. For those that are so inclined, you can also support us via our subscription link in the show notes. Click that. Please be smarter than the people that I know in my personal life. Click the link there. Sign up. Contribute either $5 a month or $50 a year. That's the deal, right? And hear all the bonus content we do there, including the stereo after show that goes up there, my solo open tabs discussion, which dropped yesterday, and all the extra stories we do here each and every week that don't make it on the regular show. Lots and lots and lots of bonus content that people sometimes shame me for on Twitter. I'm just now remembering we're not making it all free, but the majority of what we do is free. There's also a lot that's not. And if you are such a fan that you'd like to hear more, please subscribe. Click the link in the show notes, sign up there via our partners, Red Circle. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. I don't think I ever announced it because it's, you know, it's kind of gross to self-promote. But I did update my Christmas book. So if somebody's looking, not if you bought the book already, although it's great if you want to buy like
seven again.
But it's an up-to-date version of the same book that I wrote. So if you get, it's the perfect gift if you have no idea what to give someone.
So there will be a link in the description of the show. Click that link, go to Amazon.com, buy Ed's Christmas book for people in your office, in your family, newly updated, new information just this year, the extended cut, if you will. And if you send him a book plate, he'll sign it and send it back to you, right, Ed? Unless you're in Canada.
No, if you just show proof that you bought it, I'll send the book plate. You don't have to send me something.
Exactly. You got a little head cold there, buddy? A little stuffed up?
A little bit, but like I was getting over it last week. It lingers. It just lingers. I feel fine.
That's good, yeah.
I was going to say something.
Tell me.
Who knows?
you know how I'm always getting injuries? I'm always like cutting myself.
I always get some random cut.
Yeah.
Like my thigh has a big gash and I'm thinking like thigh is an injury that you would remember. And I don't remember it.
Well, is it like the corner of a desk or something, a table?
Yeah, it must be something like that. And I just didn't realize at the time you bang it and then you realize you actually cut it.
Yeah. This weekend I was threw some steaks on the grill and I have like a flat top, like on my grill for searing. Doing meats and stuff.
Yeah.
I threw a couple steaks on there in some butter and it was it was white hot. And I went to push down on one of the steaks.
It spit?
With my hand. Yeah. And it squirted like through a crevasse in the meat. It squirted like white hot grease and butter all over my hand. And I have these like disgusting blisters all over my right hand. And it really it's kind of embarrassing because you can't really tell I've burnt my hand because it's like, it looks like somebody said to me, it looks like you have lesions.
Oh.
Yeah. And the skin's all peeling off and it's all disgusting. So another injury update for me, not a cut this time, but a severe grease burn to my jerkin hand, which is an issue for me.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. I can't go left. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I had to remember that time I broke both my wrists.
Jeez.
That was a big topic on the show. I had the right wrist was cast, but the left wrist, while broken, did not require a cast. So I was able to survive and do the things I needed to do.
Like, with it broken, though.
Yeah, with it broken, but still mostly usable. So it was painful, but could be used, you know, to tie my shoes, do other things.
Right.
Yeah.
Important.
You don't, well, you don't think you don't think you can do stuff with your left hand until you have to do it. And you can, do stuff. Just not
as well. It's like when someone loses their sight and they have an enhanced, senses.
Yeah. Yep. I read a book about this. They used to think that your brain, certain centers in your brain only did certain things. And then if you lost that, if you had damage to that part of your brain, you would never be able to do those things again. But now they know that with the right therapy, other parts of your brain will pick that up and go, oh, we can do it over here. Like, this is now this part, we can do that. So you can do stuff.
It's a beautiful thing about the human body.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that.
Even a broken wrist can jerk off.
That's right. That's right. It's like that lady. You know, it was kind of gross. It's like that lady on 60 Minutes from years ago that had no arms, and they showed her, and this wasn't nice of them, by the way. They did this on purpose. They showed her like playing the guitar, like giving her kids a bath with her feet. But they also showed her shopping in the grocery store and reaching up with those toes to grab a pear. And now look. You have no arms. I understand.
I know. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And it's not like it's a chip and dip situation, all right? It's
no, you're right. He's just grabbing like a can of
I mean, they didn't have to show her in the produce department. They could have shown her in the cereal aisle.
Or right, the soup. You didn't have to show her feeling the cantaloupes.
Yes.
Avocados.
I think this one's bruised.
I see, well, now I've taken my bike riding indoors. I would see every morning this woman who has no limbs.
Stop.
In an electric chair, just cruising down the bike path. It's not a bike path. It's just a path every day with a smile on her face along the Hudson River. And I feel
like an asshole. You are an asshole.
Both emotional for her, like sad for her, but also how beautiful she has a smile, and she just goes up and down the Hudson River on the path.
Yeah.
And I think what went into just her getting out there.
I know. Happy to be alive.
I can't even process being that happy to be alive. And it's a beautiful thing for her. But then I feel like an asshole. Yeah. I make it about myself.
Yes, I know. It's you know, we're all feeling sorry for ourselves. And then we see somebody who's
no limbs.
Seemingly has been dealt a much worse hand than we. And it is flourishing. And you know what? It does piss me off because it makes me feel like an even bigger loser than I already am.
I thought of the thing that I was struggling to think
Tell
about.
Tell me.
That's kind of 90% of this podcast over the last 9 years that I just, it doesn't it drive you nuts? Like just forgetting things that you meant to think about 10 minutes earlier?
Yeah, because I remember after the show what I was going to say, and I'm like, I should have written that down. But then, oh my God, I actually, you know how
your mechanical pencil.
Yes,
I have no implements.
It dropped my mechanical pencil. It hit a button. I go, oh, I should have written that down. But the problem is, if I went to write it down, I would forget the thing that I actually was saying at the time.
Yeah.
So it's,
I almost forgot what I was just going to talk about.
See?
Too.
Yeah. You should have written it down.
So we've been asked over the years about, It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas time.
Yeah. Never seen it.
And you've been on record saying you've never seen it.
Never seen it.
And we have a couple of potential. We're going to do a movie. Yeah. We've got two episodes left this year.
We're out to a guest, and I feel like we're getting fucked over by the guest. Not fucked over, but I feel like it was pitched to us in jest, as though, as often people do when they say, hey, we should get together. Hey, we should do this thing. They don't mean it.
Hollywood kind of.
They don't mean it.
So if that comes to fruition, great. If not, we have a couple backup plans. We could do something good, but it's probably not going to be It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
So I was thinking next week.
Yep.
Maybe like 10, 15 minutes.
Of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. I give you a choose your own adventure, and you tell me what you think is going to happen.
Okay.
I give you the scenario.
Yep.
And you choose it, and then we discuss the choices made in this movie.
Love it. Love it.
So I will give the quick and dirty version. And if anyone has email or voicemail about questions related to that movie,
yep.
We can add to this 10, 15 minute segment. And I think it would be a funny way. And I love the movie, but I also find it to be absurd.
Sure. Yeah. So this sounds interesting. Because, like I said, I've never seen it.
We could do a cool thing with that movie without that being the movie we're going to do the last week.
Okay. I'm into that. That's a good idea.
Right. The next week, before we get to stories, we're going to do a little It's a Wonderful Life segment.
I'm into that. Show. I can't wait. Right. Let's do it. Until then, how about we talk some sports?
Let's do it.
Brian, they call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. My own Troy on DVD.
And what is going on in the world of sports?
We've got four RIP.
RIP.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. The ballers hope you rest in peace. You won't laugh no more.
Yep.
You won't smile no more.
That's right.
You won't laugh no more.
Still not laughing.
You won't fuck no more.
No.
So nearly to the party, we hope you rest in peace.
Oh, good news. College basketball, a little invitational going on right now. A Jimmy V Foundation. Oh. It never stopped, this Jimmy V.
And look, they shove this Jimmy V up your ass every year. And now they're doing a thing. They're not listening to what they say because Dick Vitale. He's fighting cancer. I believe he's in remission. He's an older guy.
Right now, yeah.
And they're running a promo for the Jimmy V Foundation or the Jimmy V Week or whatever. And they're like, and one of the voiceovers is Dick Vitale saying, Jimmy V said you should always follow your dreams. And his dream was to beat cancer.
No.
Yes.
His dream was to pay players and win.
Of course.
College basketball
games. Of course. But you assume for a minute. His dream was to beat cancer.
Yeah, if you were like a little kid and you're like, one day I hope to beat cancer.
He also did not beat cancer. He died of cancer. You don't say, you don't go,
absolutely. Yeah. Research, contribute everything to fight cancer. Of course. Yeah. But that's nobody's dream. Yeah. That's a dream. That's when you have to reshuffle your dreams and you're like, oh shit, this is my new dream.
Lou Gehrig's dream was not to be patient zero for a disease that renders your everything on your body unusable. That was not his dream.
No.
Fucking Jimmy V. Don't get me going on Jimmy V.
I know. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
But we lost a famous guy in the tennis world.
Yep.
Nick Politeri. He had an academy, I believe, but he was a tennis coach, 91 years old. I think I read he coached 10 number ones.
I'll give you a list. Andre Agassi, Paul Anacone, Jimmy Arias, Boris Becker, Bjorn Borg, Jim Courier, Thomas Enqvist, Tommy Haas, Aaron Krickstein, bunch of other guys who are Mark Philippoussis, U.S. Open champion, Pete Sampras, heard of him? So he had this academy, and if you read Andre Agassi's book, he went there. Also, I believe Marty Fish. Maybe they went to a different one because there's a good documentary about Marty Fish and his relationship, friendship / rivalry with who's the guy that's married? Andy Roddick on Netflix. And they befriended each other at one of these academies. It must not have been Voltaire, but this look, if you fucking want your kid to be a tennis champion and he's good, this is where you send him.
He was the guy.
But notice, to a man, other than maybe Pete Sampras, all of these fucking guys burned out early. Like, it's you go because you're there. You're playing tennis every day, all day at 13, 14 years old. And then you're doing that till you're 30.
I remember reading something and it was in relation. People loved shitting on Kournikova.
Yep.
Even though like she was, like,
she went there
and she was like a top 10 player. And people were like, she hasn't done shit. Yeah. It's like, it tried to be among the 10 best in the world at anything.
10 best in the world at 16.
What I read, and it was in regard to her and Sharapova and that it's such a lonely grind, and it's why a lot of Eastern Europeans from poorer areas started doing well, because it's like you need to dedicate so much solo time, like waking up early and just hitting balls and
every day
hitting balls. It's really tough. So, like you were talking about the guys burning out early, when these guys get success, I don't know how you can keep that up. It's crazy. And that's what makes Serena so crazy that she did it for so long, because she had all kinds of money and success. Yep. It's hard to have that kind of hunger.
Yep, sure. Serena and Venus are graduates of the Politeri Academy. Remember Jennifer Capriati? She's the cover of Sports Illustrated at 14 years old. 14 years old. And then 15 years later, not even 15 years later, 12 years later, she's getting dicked down by a porn star and smoking crack in South Florida.
Yeah, that's a tough transition.
Tough. R.I.P. Now the Bolotary Academy is all sports, not just tennis. It's soccer, football, basketball, everything.
They want to burn you out in every sport.
Yeah, exactly. They franchised it.
R.I.P. to, I was thinking about this. Is this the second worst moniker in sports history?
Yep.
Gaylord Perry. 84, I believe the inspiration for Eddie Harris.
I believe so too. I did the math, Ed. That works out to roughly 30,660 days of cursing whoever gave him that name. Like, even he died at 84. Also, how was he only 84? He pitched into his 50s.
Yeah, we saw him as a very old Vaseline ball guy.
Yes, he'd pitch in the old timers game, and they'd bring out a bucket with like a file and a jar of KY.
He was the over the top cheater guy.
He was played for every team. He'd show you how he'd put the Vaseline in his belt, whatever. But I mean, even so, 19. What year was he born? He was born in the 40s or the 30s.
He was 84. 84. Yeah, he was born in the 30s, right? 40s.
Whatever. My buddy Greg's going to make fun of me. There's no way that in the 30s or 40s, it was normal to name a human being Gaylord. There's just no way.
Dick Butkus, even though Richard is not abnormal,
right?
Dick Butkus is the all-time toughest moniker.
It's a badass name, Dick Butkus.
But it was hard for a boy.
Yes.
Gaylord Perry. As normal as Perry is, Gaylord, the tough moniker.
Yes. Top homosexual Perry. That's his name. The most...
Supreme fruit Perry. Yes. Like, right?
El Mejor Homo Perry. Like, what the fuck?
Wow.
The Lord of Gays? Like, come on, that poor guy.
RIP John Hattle. He was a 6-time Pro Bowl quarterback, 82. I wonder if he was related to the Wisconsin quarterback who was terrible.
I don't know. I never heard of him.
Hadl. It's one of those ones where you're like, are you missing a vowel? Like, what's going on?
This is back when making the Pro Bowl meant that you would go there because you got like a Buick or something for showing up. Not like these days where they're like, hey, who's the ginger from North Dakota?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz, Pro Bowl quarterback. Well, he's only Pro Bowl quarterback because everyone else pretended they were hurt, so they didn't have to go to it.
They opt out. I remember there was like a clip from the 80s, and somebody's like, I think it was Joe Theismann. He's like, we're going to win this because it's worth $10,000. Yeah. If a quarterback like tried to rally the guys over $10,000, they'd be like, motherfucker, like I sell local car dealer ads. I put in an hour at a local car dealer and make much more than that.
I do one read on the radio and they give me a Corvette. Remember there was a running back for the Patriots.
Oh, he was playing beach football. Robert Edwards.
Yeah, Robert Edwards. And it was like a sanctioned thing. And I'm like, these guys have it written into their contract where they're like not allowed to ski. They can't ride a motorcycle.
In sand, running around in sand.
Yes, like they have, like it's ridiculous. It's like no bowling, like no, like stuff you wouldn't think is that dangerous.
Right.
No
right.
ping pong. Not like none of it. They're not allowed to do. And this guy, and they're like, they have like an NFL sanctioned beach football game. This guy fucking lost his career.
He almost lost his leg. I think it was like a compound fracture, and there were all kinds of surgeries. It was very touch and go whether he would have a leg.
Yes. R.I.P. this guy that went to the Pro Bowl.
R.I.P. legendary boxing referee and TV/real life judge Mills Lane, 85, died today.
At 85?
85. That's wow. So the bit ear fight was 25 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, it was like what, like 96 or something? Right?
Yeah. So he was maybe in his late 50s then?
Tyson Holyfield.
I feel like it was 96, 97.
I'm going to tell you right now. Tyson Holyfield. It was the second one, right? Tyson Holyfield 2.
It was the first one, I think, was lethargic Tyson on all the meds. Yeah. And then the second one, he was a little bit friskier, but he kept biting. Got
frustrated because Evander was using that jab. And Vander's like, I know you're going to rush me, but I'm gonna weather the storm of the rush. And then I'm going to just jab you in the face the whole time and get you frustrated because I know you're Mike Tyson. You're a little wild. June 28th, 1997.
Okay, 97. So Mills Lane, he was known to boxing people, but he was not.
Yeah.
He was like, he got like mainstream success after the bit ear thing.
Yeah.
And I would argue he lost control of the fight.
Yeah, he did. He did. Let's get it on.
The first bite, he didn't really do anything about
it. I know. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of money on
the line. His ear, and it's like, buddy, this is your doing. You allowed it to happen.
Yeah. The fight took place at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Was this Fan Man?
Fan Man was Riddick Bowe versus
Holyfield. Oh, Razor Ruddick. No, it was probably Holyfield.
It was probably
or Haseem Rahman. Haseem Rahman.
No. Rahman was later. It was Holyfield. This wasn't
Clifford the Black Rhino ATN.
Galata? Andrew Galata, the Polish low blow specialist?
I don't think so. No. I think it was because I remember watching it, so it had to be major.
By the way, I went to a Galata fight in the garden one time.
Yeah.
And I went into the bathroom to just take a piss. And there were like 40 Polish skinheads smoking heaters. And somebody goes, hey, do you mind with the cigarettes? And they just like they all just mashed this dude. And I was oh my God, somebody's going to lose their life in here. These were some angry Polish dudes just kicking someone in the face while they're smoking. Yeah. Still, like they wouldn't even stop smoking. That's they were taking a drag as they're kicking somebody in the temple.
That's great. The fight took place at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada. The referee officiating the fight was Mills Lane, who was brought in as a late replacement when Tyson's camp protested the original selection of Mitch Halpern, who officiated the first fight as the referee.
Is that Tuesdays with Maury?
No, that's Mitch Albom.
With the giant ears?
Yes. and the sports reporters?
Oh, he was, and then he wrote that book about having picnics with the dying guy.
Yeah,
and he became like the most holier than thou guy, even on Sports Reporters.
Totally.
You know, we may have lost that game. We learned a little thing about the game of life. He would just say shit like that. And you're like, what?
No, you're not an expert on shit, guy. You are a reporter for the fucking Detroit Free Press.
Yeah. Talk to us about the Red Wings, and you struck gold with your dying mentor.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, Mitch Albom. R.I.P. Yeah. Mills Lane. He was pretty good though. Then they gave him that judge show.
Didn't he get like a Wapner situation?
Because it turns out he was a boxing referee, but that was his side gig. He was like a Nevada state judge, or county judge or something.
Do you think that's like a real thing, or do you think?
No, it's real. Like he was an elected guy.
Saying, like real in quotes, like a Nevada judge. Boxing reference.
As real.
real with quotes around it.
As real as it can be in Nevada. Hold on. Okay. Lane was born in Savannah, Georgia, November 12th, 1937. Hailed from a he's a fucking rich bitch. Hailed from a prominent Georgia family. His grandfather founded the largest bank in Georgia.
There are pictures. Yeah. There are Jerry Jones-like pictures of him blocking entrances.
He's grew Illuminati. Up
rich in Savannah in 1937.
His uncle was the president of Citizens and Southern National Bank. I would like to see a picture of everyone they ever gave a home loan.
Yeah.
I bet there's not too many.
Yeah. I bet you'd find a theme.
Yes. Oh, my God. He's a prep school fop, Ed. Lane attended Middlesex School in Concord, Massachusetts, where he played American football as a linebacker. Wasn't he like 5'6"?
Yeah, he was tiny.
Ice hockey as a goaltender. Lane joined the Marine Corps in 1956, discharged in 1959. Subsequently enrolled at the University of Nevada, Reno. Business degree. He attended the University of Utah's Quinney College of Law. Graduated. Chief deputy. Fucking Mills Lane was a cop.
Of course he was.
In 1979, Lane became chief deputy sheriff of investigative services at the Washoe County Sheriff's Office. It gets worse. He was elected district attorney in 1982 and district judge in 1990.
He definitely like waterboarded people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I bet he campaigned on the old tough on crime platform.
Yeah, tough on crime. Yeah. Looking the other way, depending on what they look like.
That's right.
But rest in peace, Mills Lane.
Blacks get the max sentence in Washoe County. R.I.P.
Yeah,
Mills Lane.
To a legend.
Yeah, anyway, they gave him a TV show, and it turned out he wasn't that. He was, he, He's begun and ended.
He allowed things to spiral out of control before then stepping in and disqualifying people.
Yeah. He only had the one catchphrase, and it wasn't, he wasn't dynamic like Judge Judy.
And it was, yeah. And he didn't call people bub like Judge Judy.
Yeah.
His catchphrase was, let's get it on. So when things spiraled out of control, he couldn't keep saying, let's get it on, because that was escalating the fight.
That's true. Yeah. No, that would make things worse. Good point.
Celtics analyst and ex-NBA player Eddie House ripped off his headset to berate a referee over a foul call.
So this made me think of a couple things. First of all, let's check in with old Eddie House.
First of all, it's the first half of the regular season.
I know. Who cares? Yeah. And there's so many fouls in basketball. Like, you could, every single one of them you could complain about, as Eddie House does here.
What is going on today?
I mean, come on now.
He's yelling at the referee.
You can't be a fan and a broadcaster at the same time.
I like how the play-by-play guy goads him into it. He's like, what is going on today? And Eddie House rips off his headset and starts yelling at the referee. And it's like, you can't do that. Oh, now there's a commercial playing.
Because there's nothing bad can happen to him.
Yes.
But it could make, it could create some buzz.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good clip. But it reminded me of this classic from 2006. Ed, do you remember this?
John Petty's extra point is up and good, and another melee on the field. This one is getting out of hand.
This is all over the place. 2006 Florida International versus the U. Florida International takes exception to a touchdown, an extra point scored by Miami, where they celebrated a little too hard. Yeah.
Was it Thomas?
Lamar Thomas is the analyst on the game. It starts getting pretty wild. Guys are swinging their helmets at each other.
This is ugly. Very ugly.
Guys are swinging their helmets and connecting. There's 100 guys on the field fighting. One guy's just bombing people with his helmet. Number 19. Oh, they're kicking each other. It gets bad. And Lamar Thomas, who's supposed to be describing, analyzing the action for whatever channel this was on, he's got thoughts. Don Strock, famous backup.
And the officials have the toughest task of all. I don't know how you assess any penalties here.
You know, I say, why don't they just meet outside in the tunnel after the ball game and get it on some
It should be noted that Lamar Thomas must be a local show or local coverage, because Lamar Thomas attended the University of Miami. That's important.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he was.
Yes.
He was part of, I believe he was one of the receivers that was part of that game, the bowl game against Texas. They're all celebrating. And it led to crazy strict rules about celebration in the NCAA.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because
I think Lamar Thomas was one of these like high stepping kings that led to all the bullshit. And we were still talking about the fallout last week when a Purdue guy was high stepping and they called back his touchdown.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
still doing that bullshit. I think Lamar Thomas was part of like this infamous bowl game, maybe Cotton Bowl against Texas, where Miami ran up the score and we're like celebrating like crazy.
Yeah. I was watching a clip earlier cause I was trying to find the Lamar Thomas, and it must've been from like SportsCenter, because the guy scores a touchdown and all he does is he scores a touchdown. He runs through the end zone and he bows to the crowd. And right. Rhys Davis, you would have thought that the player took a shit on a Bible. Rhys Davis was up in arms. He was clutching his literal pearls. He's like, oh, I can't remember the guy's name. He's like,
oh, this guy
shows his ass.
With the Randy Moss moon?
Yes. It was exactly the same thing. And it's
I apologize for this disgusting display.
It was literally nothing. He took a bow. It was nothing at all. It shouldn't even have been addressed at all. But Lamar Thomas has more thoughts.
Baby, we've had it down a couple years, but you don't come in here talking smack.
Not in our house.
The OB.
Yeah.
Orange Bowl.
Not in our house.
We're seeing on the sidelines. Look at that.
The U guys are really celebrating now. They must have won the fight.
I'll tell you what, FIU came into the Orange Bowl with as much adrenaline as any team you could ever anticipate. Miami.
They're talking about FIU versus Miami.
It's great.
But they were there to meet the challenge moments ago.
You know what we'd be saying right now? We ready. We ready.
I believe Lamar Thomas lost his duties after this.
Well, it would be tough to replace some fine analysis like that, but I guess they had to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, an announcer that certainly doesn't deserve to lose his job did flub his words when announcing a punt, or maybe he wanted to say kick, in the Southeast Louisiana Samford game. I believe this is one of those ESPN app.
A pretty good punt that Judd.
The old kick. Now I'll say punt. No, play it again. I want to hear that
one
again.
One more time.
A pretty good punt that Judd Crockett immediately.
A barn burner, by the way.
It's so perfect.
Samford 42, Southeast Louisiana 35. Now, since I don't have cable, these are the kind of games I turn on. Like, if I'll just throw on ESPN Plus, and this will be on.
This is the ESPN Plus kind of app. There's like, I was trying to find a game on there, and I had to scroll through like 40 games.
That's tough.
So if you're not part of a big conference, your games are on there, though. There are a million games. And so, like, randomly on a Saturday night later, I'll just flip around that and find some random game.
If you're a huge fan of Division II women's college basketball, ESPN Plus is for you, because there's a lot of that on there. Plenty.
Somebody who really should be removed, Adam Schefter.
Oh my God.
This past weekend wrote a fluff piece, because this was the first week back of Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
And he wrote this whole fluff piece about helping him rehab his image by saying he has shown progress and he's taken the steps, and you know, he's doing great things in his rehab. Like, he's shown the ability to not demand a hand job.
I'm so done with Schefter. This to me is unforgivable. Like, this guy's whole job is to tell us who's getting traded or fired or signing a contract.
Who's injured.
Yeah.
And for like fantasy players, hey, he's not going to play today because he's hurt. That's what his value is to people.
But he just loves to sniff jocks. Like, it's exciting to be around all those big burly men that actually play the game. And he's like, he's got to like show them, hey guys, I'm on your side. You know, here, I'm here for you. I'm one of you. Like, you're not, dude. You're a fucking reporter. Just write the news.
Speaking of injured players, I feel I'm betraying everyone, because I won again this week with a guy on a bye and a guy on the injured list.
Yeah.
And now I was like, oh shit, I'm close to winning this thing. I might have to make some moves.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I kind of want to let it ride, because I've been doing great. I'm in second place.
Yeah.
But now I'm in it. I might be in the playoffs now, and now I'm feeling like, hey, maybe I should actually try.
You should try. Don't fuck it up by trying.
But it was pretty sweet starting a guy and it had in bold IR next to him and just gave me 0 points and I still won.
That really pisses guys off. Those guys take that stuff seriously.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. As part of the World Cup festivities, Qatar is having another little contest.
Yep.
A camel beauty pageant. These camels look like they are treated with more respect than the women there.
Yeah, well, they are.
And they are, like, allowed to show off their whole heads, and
they get fucked more often.
And their beauty is being judged.
Yeah, and they definitely get a lot more better care than the Bangladeshi slaves they bring over to ride them.
Yeah, the Nepalese. Yes. The Nepalese people, that they let share 18 to a room that's 190 degrees in there.
Yeah, I mean, what's, yeah, cool. They, cool. They
camel beauty pageant.
I mean, they are kind of good looking animals. I would like to see.
What?
I was hoping they're ugly. I was hoping there'd be one. Well, these, look at the, look through the pictures here. They got them all shaved. You know, they got big, they got two toes. Most, you know, like a horse, he's only got one toe. He's just got the hoof.
Right. Hence the term camel toe.
Yeah. Oh, right. I should have, that makes more sense now, Ed. Thank you for that. I was hoping I could see like a camel cock here. You know what I notice is the judging and the whole festivities, glaring lack of female participation. It's just all dudes hanging out.
Okay.
In robes.
I Googled camel penis.
Gorgeous.
No.
Not good?
I'm seeing some bad work here. Just a straight up Google. I mean, you see some, straight up mounting.
Yeah. How the camel got its penis. Sex and asymmetry. Male camels and llamas have two-pronged penises.
Yeah, it looks like.
You go both directions there. You get all the spots, Ed.
That's what I'm looking at. In the Google image search, there's like a... yeah, but they're not like impressive. They're just like weird dead appendage looking things.
Symmetry is usually prized as a sign of health and good genes.
Because you know that's part of the contest, like who's the beautiful camel. They're checking out the two prongs.
Of course. So why do so many organisms have lopsided genitalia?
Oh, we're going to talk about an organism. Somebody with lopsided genitalia who rapes starlets.
Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on. Let's look. Oh.
These are tough looking pictures.
But does the other one work?
It looks like it just kind of dangles.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
Is it just kind of like if just get them both in there and just like start shooting and one should make it happen.
Just pushing rope. The one looks like it's not, it's not really functioning.
Yeah. But big disappointment, honestly.
Speaking of big disappointments. Yeah. Florida quarterback Jalen Kitna, son of John, was arrested for child porn. He has been kicked off the team. Brian.
Yeah.
Would you expect the son of John Kitna to show bad judgment and bad execution?
Wasn't John Kitna like a God squatter? Wasn't there something he like wouldn't do because the Lord wasn't involved?
He wouldn't not throw it into triple coverage. I know that.
Right. Oh, yes. He bounced around a lot of teams.
Threw a lot of picks.
Yeah, I recall him being a Bengal. He was also a cowboy. Yeah. He hung around for a while.
He was like very God squatterish, but he was also a very bad quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, this is upsetting. You know, we always root for the truth here, but this is a young guy. You know, I don't know what's going on, but there does seem to be a pattern here with like super deeply religious, like Chad Curtis, who did 7 years for sexually assaulting teenage girls, and John Wetland, who's, I believe, being retried.
A niece or something. It was a family member.
It was a little boy. Yeah. And it was over a few times apparently, and the jury deadlocked on his first trial. But you know, it's
speaking of deadlock.
Yeah,
wasn't there a mistrial in Mr. Mask, Danny Masterson?
Yes,
I saw that. He was gone.
Yes,
and he's. It seemed like it was a pretty slam dunk situation.
Yeah.
Do you think Scientology got in on the inside?
Yeah, they probably. I would like to know. Oh, hold on. I'm going to sneeze. Prosecutor's terrible choice. Yeah.
And I wore a mask for a lot of situations, but Masterson wears the mask to like a week ago.
In and out of court.
So big that you couldn't see his face, so there wouldn't be court pictures of him.
News of what's next for the That 70s Show star will have to wait until a January 10th hearing. In sports parlance, the prosecutors pursuing three rape charges against Danny Masterson got blown out. Well, hold on. Instead, the jury of 12 could not reach a verdict after a two-week deliberation process broken up by a Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah.
Do you think it's it's Thanksgiving and people are like, fuck, let's just go. And somebody's like, no. All right, we're just going to call it a mistrial.
Yeah, well, two jurors were felled by COVID. Because is this like the OJ trial where they were like, just get me the fuck out of here. I got COVID. But so originally it was 10-2 in favor of acquittal. And then they voted again. Like it was going the other way. Then it was 8-4, then 7-5, but still. I don't know the details.
Yeah, I don't know the details, but
yeah,
I remember reading something it was a while ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he was kind of a deviant.
Yeah, it sounds like they're not going to retry him. $3 million bond. I assume he's a piece of shit. He's a Scientologist.
I hope he's a piece of shit because yeah. I have to think his career is cooked.
It's fucked, yeah. I think he was something.
If he was completely innocent, then this is super fucked up because he has been dragged for years now.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a few. He's got three separate accusers. So that's a lot of people lying if they're lying, you know?
Right.
That's a lot of, who knows? Who knows? Not definitely not me, but he is a Scientologist, so I hold that against him. Ed, let's do some emails.
Yes.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His faults are useless shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's been well in Gardenia.
A few voicemails here.
Hey dudes, it is Jay Thousand Steps. I left this on Twitter, but I wanted to respond to your comment on if you were going to make up a persona when you're dating pre-internet or not dating.
Jay Thousand Steps has a really good phone. He's he must have a headset or something going.
It's loud.
It's very full.
I've definitely seen tweets and interacted with him there. Is this his maiden voyage for calling?
I think he might have called in before.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think he has. No, I'm almost positive he has.
Not dating, but trying to pick up chicks pre-internet. And I know that one dude said he was manager of Kraftwerk or something.
No, Candlebox. Kraftwerk you'd have to adopt a German accent to say you were managing Kraftwerk, but Candlebox you can just be regular ass white trash. So I made a joke on the internet recently because Minka Kelly is dating the lead singer of what's the name of this? They're so forgettable. I can't Imagine Dragons.
And they make a lot of money. Didn't they do the Super Bowl?
Yeah. And they're awful, but they're also anonymous somehow. And she just broke up with Trevor Noah. And I said, did somebody dare her to fuck everybody that's the worst at something? And so Imagine Dragons are basically the biggest band in the world, but you don't know what they look like.
Is strange because I know of them. I know a couple of their songs.
Yep.
And yet I could not pick them out of a lineup. I don't know anyone in that band.
No, exactly. So similarly,
that's interesting.
Candlebox were a very big band at the time. And I knew a guy that would tell chicks he was their manager to see if they would like him more.
So I think I left it on Twitter that I used to say a couple times that I was a screenwriter for Elizabeth. One, it made me look really intelligent and, like, you know, I was very sensitive because I'm writing about Queen Elizabeth. But two, is also all these chicks would be like, yeah, I know that movie, when you know they haven't seen that movie.
Of course not. Nobody's seen that.
But they knew the name of it. And so I was wondering, going back pre-internet, what would be the best obscure title to give yourself to pick up chicks that they couldn't figure out you were lying?
I mean, it's so late.
I remember that tweet.
Oh, this sounds shit. Bye.
Yeah.
That he gave it. And it's so true, because that was a Kate Blanchett.
No memory of this.
It got Joseph Fiennes. Got some Oscar buzz. I saw it because I see everything and historical stuff. But it is a movie that, like, nobody actually watched.
No.
That's a good move.
Yeah. Yeah. Because no one's going to be like, hold on, I'm going to tell you who wrote it. You're not going to be like, yeah, I wrote the movie. You know, it's no big deal. I'm a writer. I wrote the movie Elizabeth. And nobody's going to be like, you're Michael Hurst?
Right.
Because, you know, nobody knows who writes most things, especially Elizabeth. So that's pretty good. I still think manager of the band Candlebox is my all time favorite.
It is great.
Yeah.
I used to just fucking around in college. I used to, and this wasn't for fame, I used to just introduce myself as Cliff Yeager, who was a guy who was the fireman in 90210, saved Donna Martin from the wildfires. I'd say, hi, I'm Cliff Yeager. I'm a fireman out in L.A.
It was.
And people just were like, oh, cool, fireman.
It was a thing where you kind of people did come up with some bullshit like quite a bit back then. It was just common to have like a fake name, and I don't know why.
Ourselves. It's not like I was up to something. Yeah. It just was fun to have a whole bullshit persona.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you could look rich. You know, it's like it's not like you could say, you know, you're 22. Like, you're not. Of course, you're not successful.
So you saying looking rich? It's so funny. I went to a. I was with some buddies in the city last week, and we were on our way back, and we stopped in like the shittiest bar outside of the Port Authority bus station before we got on the bus.
Yeah.
And we went in there, and there was a like a very white trash guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. White trash. He was a blue collar guy, but he had the gaps in his teeth. Like, he could eat an apple through a chain link fence kind of teeth.
Sure. Yep.
And he sized us up and was immediately like very angry with us just for, I don't know, not looking like we belong in that bar. But it's not like I dress to the nines.
No.
But I guess I just, and fair enough, I'm not work in construction, so I didn't look the type there. And the guy was just we had one beer there,
yeah.
And the guy was, oh, so you guys big golfers? And I was like, no, I'm not a big. But he just kept going. Yeah. And I was thinking, what this is like the anger that, I guess it's what fuels a lot of politics in our country and stuff. This guy was just super angry with me, and I really was just trying to get a beer with some guys while we waited for a bus.
Yeah, I actually know that experience because I used to meet a buddy of mine who was an electrician. And he would be like, meet me at this bar after I get off work. And I met him there a couple times, and it was it was like one of those bars where the bartenders wear bikinis. Or, you know, it wasn't a strip club, but it was like, but I didn't know that when I went there. But what I did notice is when I walked in and everybody had like suspenders and tool belts and they were all dirty and they had hard hats on and I didn't. And and it was kind of like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, this is a construction workers. This is a tradesman's bar.
It's not like I showed up. I was wearing jeans and sneakers. It's not like I showed up in a cravat.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
An ascot. Yes.
I wasn't like way over the top or a top hat or something. I showed up with jeans and a like a untucked button down shirt. I was not I was not like looking super spiffy. Yeah. And this guy was very angry. In the like the 15 minutes we were there, he was going at us for 14 and a half of the minutes.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's like, this guy is itching to fight. Yeah. He just wanted to smash somebody's head in.
Yeah, for sure.
He was weird.
He was looking for it. Okay, thanks for that, Thousand. Here's another one.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Ed. Hey, ballers. Hey, you motherfuckers. I mean that with all the love. You know that. So I got just a few minutes. I'm going into playing this poker tournament. I have an edge. I'm going to go crush fools, or at least that's what I think. So, and I'll let everybody know how that goes. But that's not why I'm calling. I just listened to Fan, brother. I appreciate you more than you know. I will certainly stand with you. And here's what I really want to say. Thank you so much, first of all. Thank you. And Brian, let me know. And also, what I want to say is this. I'll get to the point here. I'm coming down to Texas, and everybody in the Baller Nation within the sound of my voice, come down. We will go to, you know, where Coda is and the Texas Longhorns, Austin. There we go.
Yep.
And go watch people kill rattlesnakes and drink whiskey or rum or whatever.
Yep.
Or have some burrs.
Let's do it.
I appreciate you so much, Fan. You know, it moved me to call right now. So, anyway, if we don't go watch a roundup down there in Texas and people collecting up rattlesnakes while getting drunk, then we are fucking failures as human beings.
Let's do it.
So let's get that put together. I'll do whatever I need to. I don't give a shit. It's happening. Fan, you and I are getting together, brother. Thank you.
We'll go to the roundup. I'll put it together. A lot of great people in our world. Love you guys. Love Stu. Love Fan. Here's another one.
Hey, guys. Kyle here.
Oh, Kyle and Scotty.
Hey, Brian, you were asking about corn. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Back it up. Kyle and Scotty sent us a video of him harvesting corn out in his fields in his combine with his dog in there with him.
And not like a small operation.
No, big time. Big time.
Like big time.
He's running the combine, and then next to him is like a guy driving another thing that like catches all the corn that shoots out of the thing that Kyle's driving. And I remarked, because this was news to me, and obviously this is not news to Kyle or probably like most people, but I didn't know this until recently, that corn stalks, those long things, they grow one corn on those. Each one of those is only one fucking corn.
That still doesn't compute with me.
I would have thought five or six. One? So he's gonna educate us on corn, I think, right now.
Well, they bred corn nowadays to only have about one cob on the stalk, because one bigger cob versus many little smaller cobs, we get better yield that way. There's genetics. Smart people figure that out. I don't know. I just plant the shit. Also, Super Lee.
Oh, no.
What's your problem with Wisconsin? Anyway, on Wisconsin.
Oh, no. Later, guys. Oh, no. Kyle. Not an on Wisconsin. Yeah, so that makes sense. Because if there were a bunch growing on there, they'd probably all be tiny. So they want one big-ass one. So when it's summertime and you have a barbecue, you got some big-ass corn cobs. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
Hey, Ed, I wanted to see how your pecan pie had come out for Thanksgiving. And Brian, very happy to hear that you have a illegitimate daughter that Shay is, you know, taken care of by employing as a babysitter. It's very sweet of her, since you're not stepping up and taking care of the child. At least Shay's doing something to help out. Also, Friday nights on the app, it's good to hear you and Dola. I know you like to disperse me for not listening in as much as you think I should, but I do get in whenever I can. You know, it's, I feel bad for Super Lee for you talking shit about him having a vasectomy.
What?
And, you know, it's just very rude of you. But anyway, enjoying the work, guys. Keep it up, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
That's not true. I also have a vasectomy. A pro vasectomy. Ed, how'd your pecan pie come out?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Because it's a hard one to fuck up.
Yeah, is it? And I'll self-report, I've never made a pie in my life. I don't bake.
Yeah, it's not, there's not many ingredients. And there's not like, you know how some recipes, it's like, you need to do this, and you need to constantly whisk it until it gets to this. And I remember on Thanksgiving, he said, you're killing me with your pecan description rather than pecan. But yeah, it's like a few ingredients and it's delicious.
I was a little surprised by that because I would assume that it Southerners feels like would call it pecan.
Pecan feels like the manlier way of saying it. But pecan. I know it's pecan.
Pecan. how's the pecan?
I guess when you have those pipes and that track record, you can say whatever you want.
For those
of manhood's not in question.
Totally. I just dropped the pencil again. For those that are not in the team current, what he was referring to about my illegitimate child, and I should lower my voice because she's here right now. My girl Cheyenne's son's babysitter came over for the first time a few weeks ago and introduced herself. And
that's right.
Her name is, I said, I am Brian. And she goes, nice to meet you. She goes, you're Brian Beckner, right? And I go, yeah. And she goes, so's my dad. And I go, your dad's name is Brian? And she goes, my dad's name is Brian Beckner. So she's not, amazing. She has her own dad called Brian Beckner, LSU. I am not her father. I don't know her till recently. And that's not very nice. Here's another one.
What's up, fam? Oh, crazy fucking night at the basement.
Holy shit. Is this Telly Tupac?
This feels like a post-basement bar.
He goes the full 3 minutes, and there's no transcription here. So we just, I mean, it's been a long time since we heard from
him. We're just going to ride the wave.
Yeah,
let's ride the wave.
Fuck yeah. Let's see what's going on.
Basement bar. Crazy day. I just got home. Fuck. All right. So I was out there for a long time. I tried to leave multiple times. Couldn't.
With the bitches.
It was the fucking nuttiest day ever. So
he's really Manueling us here. He's like,
yeah, give us
the details.
40 seconds in, and we know that a day happened.
A day happened, and you couldn't leave the basement bar, even though you tried. Oh my god, I dropped the pencil again. Okay.
One of the old I didn't want to go there. Oh, fuck. I'm getting text messages. Didn't want to go there.
Hose. You got hose.
But I promised two people I'd meet them there. So.
Oh, it's just two people?
Ended up going there.
Playing the name game.
One of the dudes, great old school fucking Italian guy. I love him.
Hey.
He worked at my course.
Hey, yo.
Really good guy. Well, him and.
Oh, my God.
The manager. They start to get into it.
Is this the one that you used to fuck every other Sunday night, Telly? You're being very.
The OnlyFans?
Yeah. There was one with Only. That's right. He's being very aloof here, and it's starting to be annoying. But I love Telly.
I love Telly,
and he always has great stories. So let's hear.
The old school Italian guy, and they're both Italian.
Very animated.
They're wild, talking about times. Respect because the older dude loves his chick, and he, So somebody bought.
Oh no.
His chick a flight back to Hawaii.
What?
For this week, it's a weird deal. So there's a ton of drama.
Whoa! Now. This is that somebody is a dude. I side with the old school Italian here. Not allowed.
Going on. They start getting into it. They start bitching about respect. Well, this dude, I fucked him up like 5-6 years ago. It was after the
As many who follow the show might know, Telly has boxed most of his life. So when he's saying he fucked him up, he's saying he landed some shots.
But the state game. He's an MMA guy, but I doubted him up, fucked him up. We've never talked about it at the bar. Like, anytime we see each other, we were cool. The next day, like, we've been cool ever since.
What a ride.
What a life. That's all he kept bringing up. He's like, it's about respect. He's like, Telly fucked me up in the parking lot.
Oh, he brought it up.
And, you know, we've been cool ever since. But
yeah,
I know you're trying to fuck my fucking chick.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was fucking...
Yeah.
I don't know. I put up with those two fighting for like 3 hours. They'd make up for 10 minutes. Back off. Not be good. Other dude, I'm going to take a leak. This other dude pulls me aside and he's like, hey, are you friends with this guy? And I'm like, hey. I was like, he's a pretty good guy. He's like, well, he's trying to fuck me. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on tonight? So, I don't know. I don't know what they were talking
neither
about.
Neither do we.
Not,
but I'm like, yeah, you know, I heard he was gay. I don't know.
Wow,
he's a good guy, but whatever.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
I mean, that wouldn't preclude him from being a good guy.
I come back, the other guy's sitting by him. Why? Like, right.
Okay.
Well said. Well said, buddy.
Hey. I appreciate it, Telly. Good to hear from you, buddy.
His story reminds me of a funny situation that has nothing to do with his story. But one time, my buddy and I were in a bar in the city late. It was like one last beer. My buddy goes to the men's room and a hooker comes up to me.
Sex worker, starts, Ed, please.
Sex worker, woman of the night, starts talking to me. And I am thinking my buddy is going to come back from the bathroom and see me talking to a sex worker and being like, what the fuck were you up to?
Yeah.
And I immediately just burst out laughing into this woman's face because it had been the end. And so then she starts crying because I just laughed in her face.
Yeah.
And so now my buddy comes out and he sees me laugh. He sees a crying hooker in front of me.
He thought you were berating her.
Yeah, he comes out and he sees a crying hooker and I'm talking to her and he's like, what the fuck did you do? And so, when Telly was talking about his wild exploit.
Yeah.
And so my buddy will often say, how's the boo-hoo hooker?
Telly, sober up and shorten it up. Give us a thumbnail on that night. 45 seconds.
Give us the cliff notes.
Yeah.
Cliff notes.
I definitely side with the old school Italian gentleman.
Italian.
Yeah. That's nobody should be buying your old lady a flight back to Hawaii because that's a quid pro quo situation. You buy somebody a flight. It's, hey, why don't you come home and fuck me? That's what you're saying. That's you might not be saying that, but the implication is the reason you're here is to have sex with me.
You're not just purchasing a ticket.
No.
You're purchasing something else.
Yeah, 100%. Here's another one. A lot of voicemails this week.
Brian, Ed, Mateo, Matt and Finley checking in.
Finley, Ohio.
First of all, if I don't talk to you guys before, I want you both to have a very Merry Christmas. Great Happy dude. Holidays. Have a great New Year. One of the highlights in 2022 has been this broadcast. Anyway.
Thank you, buddy.
It's Monday night. I'm just now getting caught up from last week's episode.
Not team current.
And you were talking again about Tirico.
Oh, Mike Tirico sucks.
That guy used to do Notre Dame games.
Yep.
Hang on.
To me,
very famous Italian dude.
That's right. Yeah. Yet another.
We have no problem with Italian Americans.
Absolutely.
Like Mike Tirico.
Yeah, Mike Tirico probably in the running to be the Grand Marshal of next year's Columbus Day Parade in Hoboken, New Jersey with Ed.
Hey, being a Notre Dame guy, my God, he would put you to sleep.
Yep.
A human roofie just slowly knocking you out. And then
I nicknamed him Salmon X Tirico because he's just it's like,
he's awful.
You think there's something wrong with the volume when he's doing the game. You're like, oh, do I need to turn this up? I can't hear it. It's just because he's so boring.
You'd wake up the next morning feeling violated. Mike Tirico is a human roofie.
Yeah.
And you had also mentioned the ruse, the sweet ruse that Sweetness used to wear. What a great 80s brand. Yeah. If there was one 80s brand I could bring back, and they may still be out there, I'm not sure. Ponies. Remember ponies?
I have a pair of ponies. Shout out to Ryan in Laguna Beach, because I think it was one of those accounts like that 70s sports or something. Posted was it Larry Holmes?
Yes.
He wore ponies, but I don't know. I can't remember who it was, but he posted a pony ad, and I jokingly said, somebody buy me a pair of these in a size 11. And my buddy Ryan in Laguna Beach texted me and he goes, what's your address? Because I didn't think they were available. He went online, found a pair and had them sent to my home because he's a hero. So I have a pair of ponies. Ponies are available. And I'll take it a step further. I'm told via the DMs, Ruse also still available.
Well, I'm on the Ruse website right now.
Yeah. Yep.
And it says click on US. All they're talking about is history.
Oh, right.
Despite the band's pressure to adapt to current leisure markets, the underlying heritage, blah, blah, blah. But I don't see a place where I could purchase them because they do look like they would be good on my feet.
Yeah. I see them on eBay. This could be. God. This could
look
be
at these high tops with the actual kangaroo silhouette. Fuck.
I mean, you could do a lot with that. Oh, there's a bunch on eBay, Ed.
That pocket.
Yeah, you could do a lot with that pocket. Oh, Walter, there's a sign. Oh no, it's just
it's mostly
his
cocaine, though, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, that's what fits in there. Ooh, vintage kangaroos, unisex zip pocket. They're like running shoes. Oh fuck, there's some good ones. Yeah, they're both available. Okay, hold on. Let's get back to Matt and Finlay. We digress.
That checkmark logo is like a chevron on the side.
Yep.
Cool. Got a pair. Shoes. I had several pairs. And when I think of ponies, I think of the Easton Assassin.
That's right.
Larry Holmes. What an underrated boxer. That dude was tough. Holmes always wore ponies. So when I think of ponies, I think of Larry Holmes.
Heavyweight champion of the world.
Finally, on your little dessert cake discussion that you had, I'm going to throw out there. The Little Debbie Swiss cake rolls.
Those are fucking fantastic.
They're kind of like ho-hos. They're these chocolates.
Yeah.
It's like a rolled up thing. It's like you flatten out a ding dong and roll it up. But also like kind of softer than a ding dong. They kind of have more cream.
Right. Yeah. It's more. I think there is more cream.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Cylindrical with the white cream inside cakes.
Yes. I like to put the white cream inside
great
the cakes.
Product. So, hey, ballers, have a Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and I hope you all have a great 2023.
Absolutely. Matt,
take care.
Matt, also, can you confirm that in Finley you guys paint eagles on your sugar silos? And also, what is that sentence? What is that sentence I just said mean? Because Katie Shady said that on Twitter one time that in Finley they paint eagles on their sugar silos, and I don't know what that means, and no one's explained it to me either. Here's another one.
Hey, Brian and Ed. So I was watching football this past weekend, and there was a commercial for Big Pharma, one of the big pharma companies, for a drug for Peyronie's disease.
Yeah. Oh.
And some marketing genius decided, hey, let's throw bent carrots all over the screen. Kind of like back in the day with the Cialis commercials with the dipshit throwing the football through.
Oh, shit. Hold on. I went to play the commercial and I turned off the sound. Hold on. What happened?
Kind of fucked up the whole stupid bent carrot thing on the screen.
Yeah.
But take care. You guys have a great holiday. Peace.
Okay, hold on. The drug is called Xiaflex, Ed.
So does it make the crooked straight? Like what does the drug do?
Let's see.
Looks different from guy to guy, but when yours bends in a different direction, you might.
Oh fuck, Ed!
No, I don't.
He's got a pile of carrots.
We've lived through our buddy.
Yeah, well, I didn't look at the pictures. Now I'm just looking at a carrot.
We've talked about it, and we feel for anyone who's gone through
Snowjet
this.
Snowjet SST, Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he told us about his Peyronie's. And also, his treatment didn't work. He's still bent as fuck down there.
You might feel bothered by it. So talk to a urologist, because a bend in your erection might be Peyronie's disease, or PD. It's a condition that involves a buildup of scar tissue, but it's treatable. XIAFLEX is the only FDA-approved non-surgical treatment for appropriate adult men with Peyronie's disease.
Scar tissue?
Daily penile stretching and straightening exercises.
Whoa, they really gloss over that part, Ed.
I have a feeling, though, that, and I hope everyone's sitting down, because I'm about to call into question Big Pharma's intentions.
Yeah.
I have a feeling a fucking pill isn't going to straighten your shit out.
No, there's no way. Because they said that, along with stretching and pulling, that's what you got to do. That's probably what fixes it the most. Or
I stretch and pull all the time.
Yeah, me too. But so I think the stretching and pulling is what gets you there. You got to stretch and pull properly to keep it straight.
Yeah.
Rather than bend it to the side. Let's see what the side effects are.
Proven to help gradually reduce the bend. Don't receive if the treatment area involves your urethra or if you're allergic to any collagenase or any of the ingredients. May cause serious side effects, including penile fracture or other serious.
God damn, it can break your dick. Hard pass on XIAFLEX. I feel like this is kind of one of those made up, like, you can have a bent dick and you just got a bent ass dick. It's like, not everybody's dick needs to be perfectly straight. Sometimes you got a bent fucking dick, and that's just how it's going to be. Rather than take some drugs. Oh my God. It says on the bottom of the screen, Ed, signs of serious injury to the penis. Popping sound or sensation.
Sudden. I don't deny that it's a real thing for some people, but I think this commercial is kind of designed to scare someone who just doesn't have like a perfectly symmetrical thing. Like, I'll just take some more pills. It's horseshit, because if you have a serious problem, these pills aren't going
to
do shit.
Scar tissue. A pill doesn't get rid of scar tissue. Signs of serious injury to the penis. Popping sound or sensation. Sudden inability to keep an erection. Bruising, swelling, difficulty urinating. These are all horrible.
Erection and severe allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis.
Seek anaphylaxis.
Do not have any sexual activity during and for at least 4 weeks after each treatment.
Hard pass.
Sudden back pain reactions after treatment may occur. Tell your doctor if you have a bleeding condition or take blood thinners, as risk of bleeding or bruising at the treatment site is increased. Talk to a urologist about what your manhood could look like. Find a XIAFLEX.
Fucking Ed. Get ready for this.
No.
Listen, because I almost fucked it up, then I realized he's going to say it.
Urologist at BenCarrot.com.
Oh, BenCarrot.com.
BenCarrot.com. BenCarrot.com. Can you believe that shit?
No.
Thank you for that. That guy was nameless. Does that mean he was our... no, he's not our... Charles Kuralt's son. Because he also rolls anonymous.
Shadowfamily.org.
Yeah. Here's another one.
Brian, it's Katie Shady.
Katie Shady.
I could be mistaken here, but I think tenets is actually pronounced tenets.
No, like, that's no.
In a French kind of way. Also, did I detect a little lisp on the Liver King? I think he's lispy. So not only is he short, he's also lispy.
Yeah.
That's something that you can just take as far as, you know, what his motivation is to become the Liver King and to lie about being on steroids.
Yes.
He sounds absolutely terrifying. Anyway, I think it's Tenez. Nathan,
it's not.
What do you think?
Tenets.
I don't know what she's talking about. She only addressed Brian, so I guess I shouldn't weigh in.
Well, last night I posted a review of the Liver King's apology video. So that's what she's discussing. Okay. And I was talking about his nine ancestral tenets that he lives by, which also include taking steroids. And yes, he does have a lisp, and yes, he's 5'7". Here's another one.
Hey, ballers. It's Ben.
God damn, what a voice.
Calling in. I have the esteemed pleasure of spending 2 days a week, and have been for the past 7-8 months now, in Youngstown, Ohio. Oof.
You, Ben, you mobbed up? Because Youngstown is
Youngstown's also the cradle of coaches. Lots of college football coaches are from Youngstown.
Also the former 49ers ownership group, the DiBartolo family.
Right.
Youngstown, Ohio. They were, of course,
mobbed up.
Highly mobbed up. Youngstown is a highly mob run area, is my understanding. Also, I know some people from the Youngstown area who are Steelers fans. I think.
Because is that Eastern?
Yes. Yep.
Right.
So interesting. Okay.
And you may be wondering yourself why. What's for work? Pretty obvious.
Yep.
But I was thinking about this, and Youngstown is known for a couple things, but it kind of ties into some content you guys were talking about a couple weeks ago, as well as content that Brian had put up on an Insta story recently about Married with Children. And Ed O'Neill.
Legend.
Probably the favorite son of Youngstown, Ohio. And I got to thinking about to myself, well, two things. How fucking old is this guy?
For good one. Question.
I remember watching Married with Children as a kid growing up.
Oh, he was in his late 50s.
That dude is old.
Yeah.
As fuck on that show.
Yeah, I remember thinking, how is this guy in his late 50s have kids in high school? Right? Him and Peg.
Peg was probably age appropriate then, I think.
I mean, it's. I'm not saying she looked old.
Katie.
But she felt old. Seagal.
Seagal had. She had some upper body strength.
She did. Didn't she have those? Remember those two twin sisters she had?
Yeah, the Double Trouble girls.
Yeah, they were big in the 80s. Okay, I like where he's going with this. This is actually great.
But he's still alive. And two, how fucking rich is this guy? Holy shit. Talk about vacation money rolling through the door. He could certainly donate some back to his birthplace, Youngstown, Ohio, to help that city out. But holy shit, that guy's rolling in some dough, right? Keep it baller.
Keep it baller. And let's do this.
Oh, I love Ed O'Neill.
Me too.
Not that I watch the Modern Family.
Me either, but it's funny.
But like, I love that he had huge success with it.
Yes, totally agree.
God damn it. Al Bundy.
Fucking great character.
Great character.
He's just great in everything. He's in Wayne's World. He's great. He pops up places. He's always fucking great. And it's hard when you play a character that iconic.
Right. Herman Munster was fighting that the rest of his life.
You can't do anything else. And just look, to a lesser degree, look at the Friends people. They never did shit after Friends because you're just always going to be that person. Kramer
knew how to be racist.
He publicly started throwing out that N-bomb at the Laugh Factory. That makes it harder.
It was a tough way to get laughs.
Ed, how fucking old is Edward Leonard O'Neill from Youngstown, Ohio? Went to Youngstown State. Play D line.
The Penguins. I believe the Penguins.
Fuck, what a great name.
Yeah, they've won a lot of what is it?
Frozen Four?
FCS?
Oh right. FCS.
I believe they've won four
national titles. The Youngstown State Penguins. What a name.
I'm gonna say let's see.
Yeah.
So we know what was going on with the water in the 80s.
It was filled with cocaine.
1992, just try to work in round numbers, 30 years ago, 1992.
Yep.
Was kind of midway through the run of Married with Children.
Yeah, he was in his mid to late 50s at that point.
I'm going to say, now I'm going to give him a break there, and I'm going to say he's 50 years old then.
50 years old in 1992?
So he's 80 now.
80 years old. Very close, Ed. Born 1946, which I believe is the same year as Jimi Hendrix. Aged 76 years young today. Married to the same woman since 1986. Just the fucking salt of the earth and a great, fucking actor. He also...
Great actor.
He also is a black belt in both karate and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So he can fuck you up. Because he's also not small.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He for Hollywood standards,
yep.
He's an actual large guy.
He's a big dude, and he's a fucking great actor. And we love him.
One of the actresses on that Modern Family is like a fidget. Because I remember seeing a picture of him next to one of these grandchildren, and it was like it seemed like he was 4 feet taller than somebody who was
one of the daughters. Is it the one that's married to Wells? I believe it is. She's married to Wells from The Bachelor, if you want to be depressed.
I have no idea who Wells is.
If you knew, you'd be bummed. Okay. Net worth, Ed. Net worth. Hold on.
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Ed O'Neill. Ed, namesake.
Oh.
He was named Ed back when people were named that.
Appropriate, Ed.
Yes.
I'm going to say, it's going to hurt me if I'm overselling it.
Yep.
Because a lot of the people we guess, I want them to be poorer than they are.
Yeah.
Ed O'Neill, I hope he has all the money.
Totally.
But I think Modern Family was huge, even though I didn't really watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's an ensemble cast.
I think it was on like 9 seasons.
Yeah, and I think they got paid, right, even though there were 15 of them or whatever it is. I'm going to say he's worth $60 million.
That's real fucking close, Ed. According to Celebrity Net Worth, which could be a little low even. $65 million in the bank for...
Good for
Ed
him.
O'Neill. Couple things.
A legend.
Couple things. Married to the same woman since 1986, so he hasn't had to split.
He hasn't had to get out the calculator to divide.
Hasn't had to split. Supposedly made $500,000 per episode of Modern Family. And something we're forgetting. Highly compensated and very prolific voiceover actor. He does Cricket wireless. No, not Cricket.
He was in like Finding Dory or whatever. He was in one of those, I remember.
Does also Zyrtec for those of us with heartburn.
Good for him. Nice looking wife. Nice looking family.
Just a great dude.
Good for him.
Just a great fucking guy. Great actor.
Love him.
Great dude. Okay, let's blast through a couple more of these.
Hey, gentlemen, Super League here. I got two thoughts for you. One, most conundrum. How about the comedy contest, the Spit Roast Selector? That's what the winner gets to do. And secondly, you were talking about Jesse James Decker last week and her kid with the freakish ass.
It's a weird picture.
Her husband, friend of mine, Eric Decker. Superstar athlete. And Brian, you said he's too gorgeous. You're right, but you got to remember, too. Golden Gopher.
That's
how we grow him in Minnesota. That's how we kind of expect. And you can see even Kyle lives nearby Minnesota. He gets some of that.
Yeah.
Let's not forget from as far as athletics go, not only did he have a long, successful NFL career, but he's also 3 times drafted in the Major League Baseball and played both sports at the University of Minnesota, where he was a beautiful, beautiful Gopher. Love you guys. Keep a baller. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Talk to you later.
I love you. I actually, as he's talking about it, and I know they're different looks, but the general vibe, Eric Decker and Kyle Anscani give off similar looks.
Yeah. They're both
like
really
handsome guy with a beard in the
corn fed. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Middle of the country. Yep. I get it. Now, hold on. Lee's forgotten something, and he adds it. He adds it on here in one last call.
I think he did this for me.
Idea. Let's see.
I'm sorry. One more thought. I'm slipping. I apologize for saying call. Still, but fuck Wisconsin. Fuck them all, especially Brad Davidson. And fuck Wisconsin. Fuck J.J. Watt. Fuck Russell Wilson. Fuck pretty much anyone who ever went to Wisconsin except for my brother.
I
assume Brad Davidson is a friend of yours, Ed?
Lee and I were messaging just Maryland. I'm recording the game. Maryland's playing a big game at Wisconsin.
Fuck Wisconsin.
And we were talking about how Brad Davidson was one of those very Duke-esque, like a cheap, like Stockton, like really a dirty player, the white point guard that like is dirty and the refs give him shit. So like
he's grabbing everybody's jersey.
I was just messaging before we recorded. I said, this is going to be a tough one for Maryland, but I'm glad Brad Davison's not there anymore because I really hated playing against him. So So I think he called and threw that in there, but
that is nice. But I'm going to save all these emails till next week because we kind of went long on the voicemail. We have some good emails, but some of them are longer discussions. I will just read this one because I don't want to lose the moment. Ballers. Last week, Brian mentioned catching Lin-Manuel Miranda as a bellhop in an episode of The Sopranos. I also saw Perez Hilton in an episode. I've got an even more obscure one for you. In the season 3 episode where AJ and his loser buddies trash the school pool. Oh, I know that one. One of the girls with him is none other than the future Lady Gaga. You mean Stephanie Germanotta? I wouldn't have known on my own because I'm not into looking up teenage pics of celebrities, although there's a few of your listeners who I guess probably are. But it was pointed out in the excellent Sopranos nerd book, The Sopranos Sessions. The book is worth a read if you love the show and find yourself rewatching again. That is from Andy and Indy. Did not catch that. Similarly, I'm not into checking out teens, so I missed that. Where are we at on Gaga, Ed?
I obviously it's just not quite her music is not quite my bailiwick.
She can really belt it out though, and she can play the piano.
Yeah, and I've heard her do several long interviews with Stern.
She's great.
She's great, and like and. She's just a different kind of cat, but like she's like an interesting human who's well thought out. And when you're asking where are we at with her, I felt in that movie with Bradley Cooper.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm seeing something that I didn't see previously. Right. So I would say in general, I'd never really thought about it, but I kind of got it with that movie.
Yes. Yep. I'm with you 100%. She's not
classically.
Yes. She's not what you would describe as, you know, she has strong features. She's not super cute in the general sense.
But also, but that like, kind of makes you like her more. I kind of want to cheer for her. Like
the grateful type.
Even though I don't like her music, I'm a fan, but not a fan.
A girl like Stephanie Germanotta, she's had to work for everything. She'll work a little harder, Ed. She just will, and that's worth an A for effort. Let's talk a little not sports.
Well, it's time for Now Sports. Now Sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports segment.
Ed, who'd we lose this week?
We lost a bunch. And
Yeah.
The hammer came down last night, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Didn't know she was sick.
Massive one.
Yeah.
Didn't know. This was a after the fact. Yeah, she was having a private battle with colon cancer.
Horrible. Preventable cancer, by the way, guys. Not preventable, but treatable.
Kirstie Alley, 71 years old, a massive talent.
She was very good.
She in Cheers was so pivotal, so but was so pivotal on Shelley Long with Ted Danson. Well, it was so pivotal.
Yeah, I mean, it was a better show. It was a better show. Once Rebecca Howe came on, the show got better, and it doesn't get better when one of the main people leaves. That never happens.
Like the whole dynamic of the show was Sam and Diane.
Yes.
And so the fact that she was able to enhance it.
Yes.
She was legitimately a very good comedic actress.
She was. Of course,
with the beautiful Mr. Shoop in Summer School, she was great in that.
Yeah. Shoop got her.
She was an iconic sitcom comedy actress.
Totally.
And yeah, I didn't give a shit about Veronica's Closet or the Scientology MAGA shit in the last years, but like one of the true comedic actress talents in our lifetime, really.
Yes.
Like she was very like legitimately funny, and she played that like unraveling woman role on Cheers so well.
She was great. R.I.P. Kirstie Alley.
R.I.P. Christine McVie, Fleetwood Mac singer-songwriter, 79, was a big deal, but
huge.
I gotta be honest, I only kind of know I know they're huge,
yeah.
But I only know a couple of Fleetwood Mac, and I kind of just generally know what's her name and Lindsey Buckingham.
Hicks,
but I know a lot of people were talking about like how big she was. I didn't know shit about her.
Yeah, I was married to a big Fleetwood Mac fan, and my mom was very into Fleetwood Mac, so I'm extremely familiar with Fleetwood Mac. And I have to be honest, her songs are my favorite Fleetwood Mac songs. Are all the Christine McVie songs. I don't know if it's I just got burned out on there. Although I love Lindsey Buckingham too. She was great. I didn't know she was sick. Sad to see her go.
79.
Yep.
R.I.P. Bob McGrath, the original Sesame Street cast member. He was Bob. Like there were some of the original cast members that came and went. There was like Gordon, the bald black guy.
Gordon. Yep.
Bob and Luis and Maria, but like Bob, and he was 90.
Yep. He often wore a V-neck sweater, as I recall.
Yeah.
Bob, great guy. Nice long run.
R.I.P. Brad William Henke, an actor from Orange is the New Black, and you might know him from something from our show. He was the strength coach in Draft Day, 56. He was like, I think he had a cup of coffee in the NFL. He was like a big, burly, bearded guy you would know from stuff.
Oh, yeah. He was only 56. Big dude, yeah. Drafted. Fourth round, 1989.
Right. He was
played in both the NFL and the Arena League, Ed.
Yeah. And he was the strength and conditioning coach in Draft Day. Yeah. One of the great movies of our time.
Classic. Hey, fam. There's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Baller podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and the man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Commerce conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS.